It is about 9 minutes after 11 o'clock. We turn now to a veteran, Bob Sickinger, and we got to know Bob, or we are becoming acquainted with him, because he was very dear friends with our own Christian's uncle, who has since passed away. Mr. Sickinger comes from a long line and a proud line of veterans. He's currently a volunteer firefighter in Derby and involved very heavily in his own community with various veteran-related organizations. He served in the U.S. Air Force. Bob, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. You had a really interesting job description in the U.S. Air Force.
Thank you, Lisa. Big fan.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. So, Bob, I understand you were a bomb dog handler in East Asia?
Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia, Cambodia,
right.
Thailand?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Right. Utapau, and during the evacuation of Vietnam. Make it short. My brother was wounded at Dong Ha with the 2nd Marine Corps, 4th Division, 2-4, the magnificent bastards. And I was so mad, but I wasn't old enough to go into service. So, naturally, my brother came home disabled.
I'm so sorry.
He's fine now.
Good.
Earl's doing fine.
Good. He healed. I'm so glad to hear that. That's
he
good.
He did.
Good.
And many trips up the stairs on my back, you know. It's not like it is now when you're wounded, they provide you with ramps and stuff. But make a long story short, I enlisted. And Earl told me, Bobby, whatever you do, get a job as a cook. If you're going to go in, don't go in the Marine Corps. You'll get killed. The Army's too dangerous. I said, okay. I talked to my mom. I got out of high school. I said, Mom, I want to go in the Air Force. So she signed the papers for me. So I signed up as a cook.
Okay.
I'll always be warm, and I'll never be hungry.
Okay. And you enlisted. And what year was this, Bob?
1972.
All right. So in 72, we were just thinking about getting out of Vietnam, right? We were trying to get out.
It was winding down.
Yep.
I went to basic training, and evidently I scored too high on the test to be a cook.
Uh-oh.
So on graduation day, like I said, I'll make it real quick. There's three guys left after the other 45 guys got their orders to go to the different technical training schools. They said, sergeant came up to us and said, listen, you guys got to report across the street, which was the security police training center. And I said, wait a minute. I signed up to be a cook. I didn't sign up for security police. I could get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Make a long story short, I went through my 10 weeks of training. And then another thing my brother told me was never volunteer for anything. So graduation day at security police school, the sergeant says, does anybody have a dog at home?
Oh.
So what does Bobby do?
You raised your hand.
Yeah. Thank you. Take your duffel bag and report to another barracks and sign in. You're going to the canine school. Congratulations.
Oh, that's the coolest thing ever, though, Bob. Seriously. Don't you think?
It was. I don't regret it. And I also went through dog training with Jean Melby. And you could look it up on a computer. The first woman to graduate the Department of Defense dog school at Lackland Air Force Base.
Wow. Were there too many women in the service altogether when you were there in 72? There couldn't have been too many.
But to be a dog handler was, they made every excuse not to have these qualified women become dog handlers.
Wow.
And I met Jeannie Melby. We took care of Nemo, the most decorated dog in the United States Air Force, who was retired, one of the few dogs that was retired to the Department of Defense Dog School at Lackland, because we used to train dogs for every branch of the service. Graduated, went to the 42nd Bomb Wing at Loring Air Force Base, Maine, during Operation Chrome Dome, when we were flying the nukes over Russia. And Loring was the closest base on the Northern Hemisphere. Mm. Make a long story short, I did my tour there. I get orders to go to American Post Office, 96330, Travis Air Force Base. So I said, oh, that's pretty good. So I came home on leave. I'm telling Mom and all my Italian relatives, hey, I beat it. I'm going to San Francisco. Well, APO stands for American Post Office, 96330. And Travis Air Force Base is where I was to depart to go to Southeast Asia.
Oh, wow.
Make a long story short, I get there. Now I get there in March. Everybody's going crazy in South Vietnam. And, all right, you're a qualified bomb dog handler. I searched baggage. I searched aircraft. I searched toilets, everything. We get back to Thailand. Well, naturally, you know, we had evacuated Vietnam. So,
yes.
And I still had 9 more months left on my term.
Okay.
My overseas tour. So they sent me to Utapao, Thailand, which at the time was the main bomber base, the only bomber base in Thailand. I get there. I'm pulling security duty on the perimeter. And things are happening. Seeing the surrender to what was ever to the Khmer Rouge.
Yep.
And what happened was I can't think of the name of the place now, but they had opened up a refugee area on the Mekong River. Mm-hmm. And what these Cambodians were doing, the Khmer Rouge, were chasing refugees and murdering them.
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm.
like Germany, just like what the Nazis did.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any dogs. So one day my sergeant comes up to me and he says, well, you know, you speak Thai pretty good. I says, well, I'm out in the woods all the time and I used to watch the little kids talk. That's how I learned to speak Thai.
Wow.
You know, and it was well known that I understood Thai more than I spoke. But they sent me to the Cambodian border and to the refugee area and to see what these people do. And how wonderful these dogs were. My dog, Bang, W176, saved I don't know how many countless lives.
How did the dog, tell me how the dogs were chatting with Bob Sickinger. Tell me how the dog was trained, how it intervened in a way to save lives. Literally, like, what happened, Bob?
Well, what happened was the Thais, they were all American, had all the dogs that we turned over to the Thais because we're winding down.
Okay.
And there were so many dogs there, you know, 17-mile perimeter. We had, I think it was 70 or 80 dogs just at Utapao. And then we were closing Nakhon Phnom Air Base, Thak Le, Udorn, Uban.
But what were the dogs doing? I don't understand. So they would patrol with you and they would...
We secured the perimeter of the air base.
Okay.
And do you know, during the Vietnam War, there was only one air base overrun during the whole Vietnam War, and that was Ben Hoa. But the dog alerted during the Tet Offensive to the attack. But they had a numerical superiority. So there was nothing really the guys out there on the perimeter could have done. But the dog did prevent a catastrophic attack.
So tell me what the dogs were chatting with Bob Sickinger. So this is so interesting to me. Can you stay on the line a little bit? Because I've got to play some commercials. We've got messages. I really want to hear about the training of the dogs. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay. We're chatting with Bob Sickinger, who was a dog handler in Southeast Asia in the waning days of the Vietnam War. He had a lot of wartime experience. It's fascinating. Fascinating conversation. So stay tuned. Stay with us. 203-333-9422. Bob Sickinger joins us again. Bob, thank you so much for waiting to come back on. We can't wait to hear more of your experiences in Thailand and Cambodia as somebody who trained these war dogs. Can you tell us, Bob, how did the dogs that you worked with, how did they get selected to begin with? On what basis?
Well, there's a screening process, Lisa. They make sure that the dogs aren't what they call gun green or gun shy. Because naturally, you'll be firing your weapon, and you can't have a dog cowering. His ability to pick up scent, as in smell, and how you got along with the dog. there's a hat for every head, but sometimes the hat don't fit. So what would happen was we'd switch around, and it, I think my process to get my first dog, Billy, was a couple weeks. But finally, we hit it, you know? He wasn't too smart. I gave him all the love I could, encouragement and everything, and he passed. But unfortunately, the government felt the need to send him to Malmstrom Air Force Base, and he wasn't eligible because he was a pretty new dog to go overseas. And that's when I left, and I picked up Bang.
So are they always German Shepherds or Belgian Malinois? No, what kind of dogs are they?
I'd like to show you a picture. I'll give Christian a picture of my dog.
Okay.
In fact, it's online. Vietnam veterans dog handlers.
Oh.
Who would have called Thailand. Bang, W176.
Okay.
And there's a picture of us there. And he looks like a, believe it or not, he looks like a, I don't know, a hound dog. Doesn't look anything like a German Shepherd.
Oh. Did you find him from being a puppy, Bob, or do you train them once they're over a year?
The prerequisite was they had to be almost a year old.
Almost a year. Okay. Okay.
Right.
And with the dogs, I mean, were the dogs just sort of dogs that were in shelters? Were they, I mean, from breeders? Where did dogs come from?
At that time, we needed dogs so bad, Lisa, they were taking anything. And long as they passed the prerequisite, it's not like now where they go out and spend $10,000 on these fancy German dogs that don't even speak American.
Okay.
Not that they're not good dogs, but, you know, don't misunderstand me. But these were mutts that needed a home.
Wow.
And needed love. And, you know, a dog, there's nothing like the love of a dog, the loyalty of a dog.
Absolutely.
This dog went everywhere with me.
Oh.
In fact, I didn't even go on what they call R&R because I lost a couple friends there during the Koh Tang Island incident when the Cambodians captured the Mayaguez. And, excuse me.
I'm sorry, honey.
Ugh. When it came to the Mayaguez, I lost a few fellow dog handlers, and their dogs were tied up in the kennel. I used to go and take, and I'm looking at these wonderful animals.
Yeah.
And I used to take them, and, you know, they got to know me. But what really got me was, make a long story short, we came back off the Cambodian border, off of the refugee camp, when the Thais finally got a handle on everything. And now they were deciding, what are we going to do with these dogs? So we started turning them over to the Thai military. But the Thais didn't know how to eat dogs.
I know.
They couldn't show the appreciation for the animal like we did. They'd get off duty, they'd lock them in the kennel, and that was it, you know?
Oh.
But the reason I was transferred out of canine was they started euthanizing the animals.
Why? Why?
Well, they claimed that there was a virus that they didn't want to bring back to the U.S. So when I came back, I had been gone about, I think, four or five weeks. I was up north. When I got back to the base, I see a little tent city set up at the kennels, and all these guys with white, you know, medical technician uniforms. That was the uniform there. The corpsman had white, you know, like
lab coats, doctor coats. Yeah.
And they had these tents set up, and they were euthanizing the dogs.
Oh my God. Oh, Bob.
And then there was a few dogs that were absolutely knew what was going on.
Oh.
They were eating the vet techs up.
Mm.
I think it was probably 12 or 14 vet techs that got eaten up by these dogs.
Sure.
They, you know.
Right. They were fighting for their life. You couldn't blame them. Right.
Yeah. So.
Did you get to keep... Bob, did you get to keep your Bang W176? Did you get to keep your dog?
My bang survived. I got rotated out because I was farmed out of the canine corps because I refused. I was friends with all the dogs because they didn't have handlers.
Mm.
And when I was on charge of quarters, I used to make sure that all the dogs got let off the kennel to run around in compound.
Sure. Right.
And they all knew me. And I refused to take them on the death walk. I absolutely refused.
Yeah.
I said, you can't ask me to walk these dogs to the gallows after the lives they saved here.
Yeah.
And their reply to me was, well, they're equipment.
Oh, my God.
No, this isn't a helicopter. This ain't a truck that's broke down. This is a living being that saved lives. And that's why I'm really an advocate for support these war dogs.
Yeah, you know, I saw that that Blumenthal is like the number one in the Senate, believe it or not. Connecticut Senator Blumenthal is the number one advocate for war dogs in the country because he's introduced all these bills. Like, for example, until we decided to do so, there was no money or funding set aside to take these retired war dogs to go home.
Wonderful
nothing.
Animals. Wonderful animals. My dog saved my life from a cobra.
Wow.
And there was a hole in the fence, make a long story short. We were coming from the main terminal building. Our kennels were in between the bomb dump and the airfield where they had uploaded the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be 2.5 miles. But it was an unwritten rule that as you went down the perimeter road, you take a look at the fence. I see a hole in the fence one day. And the whole base is like Stratford Airport, Bridgeport Airport. All the way around, there's a big ditch. Okay, a drainage ditch. And I looked and I saw the big cut in the fence and I said, no, I was really tired. I said, maybe I should just go back to the kennels. But I stopped, Bang and I got out, Bang ran to the hole in the fence, went through the hole in the fence, went out on the edge of the clong, and he's sniffing. And I walked down there, had my rifle, and I walked down there and I see what's going on. It's obviously somebody had dragged something through there. It's just thieves, you know. And I see two acetylene tanks. They had stolen two acetylene tanks. And I guess we're going to come back and pick them up when it got dark or something. But I try to walk to the tanks, and Bang came right in front of me. And he wouldn't let me proceed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time I tried to move, he blocked me off. So finally, I said, heel, which is the command for them to come by your side.
Okay.
He came, I took a step, and the cobra reared up. He saved me from stepping on that cobra.
Wow.
Which probably would have been a fatal
bite
because I didn't have a radio with me. I did have a weapon, but I had turned my radio equipment in already. And after that, I was like, oh, needless to say, I went home and changed my underpants.
5-year riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It was just unbelievable.
So, Bob, when you got back from Vietnam, obviously you have this tremendous bond with dogs, with canines.
Oh.
Do you have dogs now? Have you had dogs?
Well, first thing I'll tell you about my dog, Bang. He's probably the most, Deuce. He's probably was the most popular dog in the Shelton Derby area. He went everywhere with me.
Yeah.
A little fox terrier, but one of the mightiest dogs you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
And he passed away 15 years. Now I'm without any. And I'm trying to adopt a retired military working dog.
That's a great idea for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? What they put you through. I mean, why would you not give it to a certified,
dog handler? I don't know.
Dog handler.
You seem pretty obvious choice.
Walk around and, think I'm going to walk around and have him attacking everybody? But if he catches somebody in the house, that's a different story.
Bob, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been a very illuminating and moving part of the show. And I want to thank you for sharing your experiences and all of it with us. It's sad, though. It's sad that Army treated these magnificent animals as property and looked at them as disposable commodities. Very sad.
I could not take those animals. And, I had a pretty good record The whole time I was in the service, I was never in trouble. But there's my morality wouldn't let me take those dogs. I don't know what happened to them. They probably had to shoot them in the kennel.
Oh, my God.
Because there was only a couple of us that could get them out. And we launched really a coup d'etat there. Because the guys that work with the dogs in my squad, and, you know, we just weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring
myself to do that. Nah, I'd be like you. I would have run away. I couldn't have done it.
That's me, disloyalty. And I said, well, if it's got to be on my record, I got to account to one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they threw the last shovel full on me, I just couldn't do it.
You got to look at yourself in the mirror. That's it. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. That's it. Yep.
Yeah. And for my last 4 months in the service, naturally, I got blackballed because, you know, that's the way the military goes. Yeah. I didn't follow a direct order, but some orders are untenable.
Yep. Yeah. And we're supposed to learn that, by the way, as Americans. We're not supposed to follow orders just because they're orders. Isn't that the lesson of Nazi Germany? I was following orders. We're not supposed to do that.
No, I can never say that, because if it wasn't reasonable or tenable, like I said, I wouldn't do it.
Me
I'd
too.
Find it.
I wouldn't have been good in the Army. I could just see it already.
Yeah, it was the children, too. The poor kids there, God. I don't know how many times I went hungry giving away my food at that refugee camp. You're sitting there, you sit down to eat. I always made sure bang was provided for.
Yeah.
But I sit there and start eating, and you're right in amongst the camp, you know?
Right.
And little kids watching you, and I don't like, I went overseas 200 pounds, got home 130.
Oh, my God.
You'd have thought I was in a POW camp.
Wow.
But that's, some people are different. That's what makes me different, and I don't deny it. And Lisa, thank you. I know you're a very busy lady, big fan. I'd like to have lunch with you sometime.
I'd love it, Bob. It would be a treat and privilege for me. We'll have Christian set it up. The three of us will go out at noon.
Yes. And Christian, every time I see him, I call him the good nephew.
He is so good.
He's the good nephew.
He's a good
gentleman,
boy.
A religious person, very loyal, and also serves on the fire department.
I know. You guys are fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Well, we just keep on. You know, that's what makes us different, Lisa. Wow. I like being different.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for calling, Bob. And you're welcome to call anytime. Love it. Thank you.
You have a good day. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Bob Sickinger on the Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600, 203-333-9422 on Veterans Day.